Last Saturday, Brother Travis Main came down from the Kansas City area and gave us some great lessons and ideas on how to take the gospel to our community. And it was a wonderful day. I know when it was over, Denise and I both talked about how we were kind of looking at the year in a very positive way, because there were so many different things we can do. This year we are focusing on doing that very thing. We're wanting the church here to grow in a number of ways, and in one way is numerically. We want people to hear about the gospel. We want people to respond to the gospel in a positive way. One of the things we talked about that day was how to respond to various questions. How to respond to various things that people may say that we, when we talk with them about God or about Christ or about the church or about salvation. And he gave us some great advice about how to do that. And there are many handouts, and if you certainly want one, and I encourage you to get one, that will be very helpful, because we're really going to focus a lot of our work and activities this year on that. One that I want to approach personally this morning is one that you will find when you talk with many people. Sometimes when you talk with various ones about religion, about church, about those things, people will say, well, what's the difference in all the denominations? Is the Church of Christ just another denomination like everything else, or is it different? So you and I need to be able to respond to that question, and of course we need to respond from where? From the Bible. We don't want to respond with people's ideas or opinions or anything. We simply want to go to God's Word and find out what the Bible says about that. That's a very, very important question. Is the church a denomination? Or is the church different than all other churches? It's a very valid question, and you and I need to be able to respond to it, because it is such a relevant and often asked question. So it's to the answer that we want to turn. And you've maybe heard many of these things before, I don't know, and maybe you haven't. But it's one that we want to examine this morning. First of all, many that you will come in contact will call the Church of Christ a denomination. And of course, you and I know that just because something is called a denomination doesn't make it one. And that was true even the first century as well. Let's go back. Acts chapter 28. And to all of these ideas, we want to go to the Scriptures. That's our only source of answers. Our only source of answers. Acts chapter 28, verses 21 and 22. Acts chapter 28, verses 21 and 22. Let's read. Then they said to him, this is talking about Paul, talking to Paul, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. What were they talking about? The church. The church. They said, we want to know this sect. Well, what is a sect? It's a denomination. We could put that word in there. A division. See, there were people even in the first century that thought the Lord's church was a sect, was a denomination. And of course, they thought it was a sect of Judaism, a branch of Judaism, a denomination of Judaism. And of course, Paul basically responds that it's not. He says it's not associated with Judaism. It's not a division of Judaism. It's not a denomination of Judaism. It's not a denomination of anything. It's totally and completely separate. And there's many places, of course, in the Bible, in the New Testament, that talk about that very thing. And so the church that Paul was a member of, Peter was a member of, that John was a member of, that we read about in the book of Acts and all those letters, was not a sect. It wasn't a division of anything. It wasn't a denomination of any kind. And one of the things that early Christians had to do was to respond to that. Because many people thought it was. They thought it was a sect of Judaism. And so Paul and others had to respond and explain to them, just like we do today, what it really was. So just because various people in the first century called it a sect or a division or a denomination didn't make it one. Because Paul and others said, by inspiration, that it wasn't. So that's the first thing we need to know. Just because people throughout time, from the first century, nothing new, from the first century, has called the church a sect or a denomination, doesn't make it one. The second point I want to emphasize is, Jesus did not start, or he's not the head of, a sect or a division or a denomination. First of all, a very, very familiar passage, but one we need to read again, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. These are the words of Christ himself. And I urge you to always go to the Bible for your answers. Always go to the Bible for the answers. Jesus here, of course, is talking to his disciples, his apostles primarily, Peter and the others. Matthew 16, verse 18, after Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," that confession, he wasn't making anything on Peter. Peter was just a man. "On this rock," the fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God, "I will build my church." He did not say, and it's very, very important, he did not say, "I will build my sect. I will build my division. I will build my denomination." He says, "That's not what I'm doing." He says, "This church of which I'm going to build, and it's only going to be one, there's only one of them," he says, "is going to be based upon the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's the foundation of the church, and it still is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not buried in some unknown tomb in Palestine. He's alive. And he's still alive. He was resurrected on that third day. He did ascend to the Father. And he's still reigning in heaven over his kingdom, the church. So Jesus did not start, nor did he establish any type of denomination. One of the best books in the Bible, letters that address this idea of what the church is the book of Ephesians. And we'll read several verses there, and these are ones you might want to, I don't know if you mark in your Bibles or if you take notes and leave them in your Bibles, or maybe you have a perfect memory. I certainly don't. But if you do, then these verses are critical in discussing with people the nature of the church and what it is and what it is not. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 22. This explains to us more about what the church really is. Verse 22 says, "And he put all things under his feet," talking about God put all these things under Christ's feet, "and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church." So who is the head over all things of the church? It's Christ. What is the church? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now notice how absurd that picture is if we insert divisions or denominations in there. Because then we would have Christ having a multitude of bodies. One head, and then a whole bunch of bodies. And see how absurd that is. He only has one body because there's only one church. There's only one church because there's only one body. And Paul told the church at Ephesus that, and Paul wrote by inspiration. God is saying that Jesus is the head of the church. And that church is represented by his body. So just like there's one head, there's only one body. There's not one head with a whole multitude, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different bodies. No, there's only one. And there's no divisions within it. It's not a sect of anything else. Jesus made that very clear. It is not. It is separate, apart, unique from any other religions. There were many religions in the first century besides Judaism. I mean, there was a multitude of them. But the church was distinct from all of those. Well, there's other places in this that are important as well. Ephesians chapter 4. And we could read many others, but for the sake of time, let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Same writer, the Apostle Paul. He's writing by inspiration. The Holy Spirit is moving him to write these words. Paul writes, there is one body. How many is that? There's one. And one spirit. Well, if there's more than one body, there's going to be more than one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Well, if there's more than one body, there's more than one hope. One Lord. Is there more than one Lord? No. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Is there more than one God? Well, if there's more than one body, there's more than one God. But he says there's only one. If there's only one God and Father of all, there is only one body, which Paul had already said was the church. There is just one. It's not divided. That would represent some sort of monstrous being or something. It's not divided. It's not denominated. That's all the word basically means, is a division. It's not divided. It is one. And there is only one. Ephesians chapter 5. He makes the same lesson, or he tells the same lesson in a slightly different way. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. Paul writes, again by inspiration, he wants the church there to know without a doubt what the church is and who's the head of it. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. It does not say he's the Savior of the bodies. Why? Because there's only one. He's only the Savior of one body. What did Paul say in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23? The body was the church. Jesus is only the Savior of one church. And that's not what I said. That's what the Bible clearly says. There's really no way to misunderstand that. He says, God says, that Jesus is only saving one body. He's only saving one church. That's it. He's not saving a division or a denomination of anything or a sect. He's not saving any of that. He's just the Savior of the body, the church. That's the only thing he saves. It's the only thing he's ever promised to save. We look high and low in the Bible, and that's the only thing he's the Savior of, is the body, the church. And again, he's not a Savior of anything else. No person in the New Testament, we start in Matthew 1 and go all the way to Revelation 22, no person in the New Testament ever became a member of any sect or denomination. Why? Because there weren't any denominations in the first century. So it would have been impossible. Paul even condemned denominationalism. He condemned it outright. He condemned it outright. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church at Corinth certainly had a number of problems. And one of them was that there were people in the church at Corinth that was wanting to start denominations. That's what they were wanting to do. They were wanting to denominate the church. They were wanting to divide the church. And Paul wants to nip that in the bud at the very beginning. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Paul writes, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Churches in the world don't speak the same thing. Therefore, we know that they're not approved by God. They're not speaking the same thing. Paul pleads with them. He said, "I plead with you, I urge you to speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions." You know, it would be just as appropriate, just as correct in our translation to write denominations. "And that there be no denominations among you." See, Paul didn't want it denominated. He didn't want it divided. He says, "You speak the same thing. And that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you." Where do denominations come from? Contentions. That's where they come from. That's how all denominations were started. By contentions. By quarrels. By arguments. By fights. Paul writes, "Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am Cephas, or am I of Christ." What were they trying to do? They were trying to denominate the church in Corinth. Make it into a bunch of divisions. So Paul comes back saying, "Is Christ divided?" See? Is His body divided? Paul implies it's a rhetorical question, right? Christ is not divided. Christ has never wanted all these divisions in the world. He's never wanted them. He's never approved of them. On the other hand, He's been against division. He's always been against division. He says, "Was Paul crucified for you?" Of course not. "Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" No. See, those are where divisions come from. That's where denominations come from. They come from these type of things. And he says, Paul says, that's not supposed to be that way. Paul says Christ has one body and it's not supposed to be divided. So he's condemning divisions in the body. And where do those come from? He says from contentions, from quarrels, like people saying, "I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas." What are they supposed to be saying? "I'm of Christ." That was the only legitimate answer. "I'm of Christ. I belong to Christ. I don't belong to these other things." See, we're not supposed to belong to anything but Christ. Because Christ only has one body, only has one church, and that's the only thing we're supposed to belong to. I don't think Paul could have made it any clearer in the way he wrote that. When we follow the New Testament, and you've probably heard this analogy before, if a group of people were, you know, shipwrecked on a remote island and the only thing they had was the Bible, and they followed it, the only thing that they would start is the church. They wouldn't start a bunch of churches. Why? That would be impossible. Because if you stay strictly with the Bible, nothing more, nothing less, then the Bible says there's only one church. So there would only be one church that group would start. Only one. And they'd be of the same mind and the same judgment. They would follow just the Bible and nothing else. So that's the only thing that can come out of the Bible. Now, there's many people who are in various divisions and different sects and different denominations that follow part of the Bible. They do follow part of it. But you cannot become a member of those by following the New Testament by itself. It is impossible. One cannot do it. One follows the Bible by itself. Then one will become a member of the only church that Jesus is the Savior of. And I know that because He said it. says, I will build my church. And he says, that church is my body. And he says, I only have one. And he says, that's what I'm going to save. I'm not going to save anything else. I'm not going to save any divisions. I'm not going to save any denomination. I'm not going to save anything but the church. And Jesus made that as a promise. It comes down to do we believe Jesus or not? Or are his teachings too hard for us? You know, there's a lot of people in the first century, the Bible says, John records this, that Jesus' words were too hard. And so what does it say they did? They turned and walked away. Because that was simply too hard. It was too hard to accept. But yet the Bible's clear. The Bible is very, very clear about that. If you're still in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul addresses the church there in verse 2. He says, to the church of God which is at Corinth. There was only one. There was only one there at Corinth. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, see there in his body, they're called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Even though people met in different cities, there were some in Rome, there were some in Corinth, there were some here, there were some there, they were all part of the same body. Why? Because they all spoke the same thing, they had the same mind and the same judgment. They were all saints. They'd been sanctified in Christ Jesus. How did that happen? Where did those saints come from in Corinth? Where did the church come from? When was it started and how did it start? That's a very important question. Again, we don't have to go anywhere but the Bible because the Bible tells us if we're willing to accept what the Bible says. See, that's really where it comes down to. Are we willing to believe the Bible and the words of the Bible, or are they too hard? We go back to Acts chapter 18, and that answers the question for us. Acts chapter 18, Paul goes to Corinth, and we certainly aren't going to read the whole chapter, but all of it is important that happens in chapter 18. So we read in chapter 18 where the church came from. There was no church there when Paul went to Corinth. There weren't any. Now notice down in verse 8, he first went to talk to the Jews and they didn't accept him. So he said, your blood's on your own heads. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And so he does that. Verse 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. After that, the church is always spoken of as being in existence in Corinth. That was the beginning of the church in Corinth, right there. Paul preached to them. Some of them heard it, some of them believed it, and some of them acted on it. And as a result, the church began in Corinth. As he calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church of God in Corinth. It started there. And Paul started it. Paul knew them. Paul was there. He knew how the church started. How does it start today? Exactly the same way. Hearing, believing, and obeying. Exactly the same way. And when someone does that, what sect do they become a part of? None. What division do they become a part of? None. What denomination do they become a part of? None. They become a part of the body of Christ, His church. And that's why it's often called the church of Christ, because it belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to Paul. It's not the church of Paul. It's not the church of Peter. It's not the church of John. It's not my church. And it's not your church. It's His church. Because He's the head of it. And He was made the head of it, the Bible says, by God. And that's where that church came from. And when we look at the church today, none of what we do, none of those essential acts or beliefs come from any place other than the New Testament. Because that is the source of our authority. We don't go anywhere else for it. Why do we believe that faith is necessary? Because Romans chapter 10 tells us it is. Why do we believe that one must confess? Because the Bible says confession is essential. Matthew 10, Romans 10. Why do we teach that repentance is necessary? Because the Bible says it is. Luke 13 and Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 17. All teach those are necessary. Why do we practice baptism, immersion? Because that's what the Bible teaches. It tells us in Acts chapter 2 that we have to be baptized or immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. It tells us it's a burial, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It tells us that it's essential for salvation, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. It tells us that. It didn't come from men. It came from God. That's how one becomes a member of the body, the Church of Christ. It's His. It doesn't belong to any man. It belongs to Him. And the Bible says He is the Savior of that body, the church. Now, will we act upon that? Do we believe it to the point that we will act upon it? Many in the world say no. Most in the world say no. It's too hard, it's too difficult, whatever. But yet, that's what the Bible clearly teaches. It just comes down to whether we want to accept the Bible or not. And this morning, if you're willing to accept it and experience that new birth, I encourage you not to wait as we stand and sing this song.